love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, still here. The voicemail that I left on Friday has been discussed with a couple. And so I'd like to discuss it with my own family. But anyway, it motivated me to do a couple things. One is I did find some additional information, some newer information about, because, you know, one of the things I find fascinating is obviously what I do with back in the days when I used to do hardware, but now even in software, one of the things I find is that there's a tremendous audience for the fluff stuff. Or how I can use this to make a good income, especially, you know, I'd rather do this than beg or dig ditches. Wherever I read that idea, anyway. But the actual drive to understand seems to be limited. And the analogy I constantly use is the idea of, because I watched, for example, musicians who or other artists and so forth, or even athletes and things of that nature, who are really into what they do, and often the focus it takes, the practice, and so forth, in order to get really deep, really good, and offer value, is intense, and not really pursued by many. And, you know, when you see this in areas such as what we call the medical community or the scientific community, there are some people who really, there's that thirst. Especially when you get to the medical community, you can get this idea that I want to do this because for the good of humanity, but I make a good buck too, you know, and so forth. And the whole group is led in a direction where that can be led astray. Whereas there are sometimes some, like the musician, you know, or the runner or the software guy, who gets really deep. And I find when I listen to somebody who's really deep and understands the medical field, especially because of the issue of the day, the COVID-19, and can explain why, it's just fantastic. And they will be silenced. And because everyone I listen to that will do this well, who will explain how, you know, what it is, what it isn't, and so forth, just phenomenal. Because one of the things I heard today, which again, I just... It was extremely enlightening because the you know, because you hear about the spike protein, and you know, because I've mentioned before how it basically attaches itself to another cell in your body and causes havoc. And he explained more about that attaching process, the idea of the receptors. And the analogy I thought about is people are familiar with Velcro. You know, you have these two different types of materials. Because of copyright or name trademarks, some people will call it hook and eye. Because when I was in the hosiery industry, that was an issue. You can't call it a Velcro because it's a trademark. But either way, Velcro, if you take the two opposite materials, they will stick. Because you have one device that plugs into a matched receptor very easily, and they bind. Because you take Velcro, put it together, it sticks. But if you take two of the same side and put it together, they don't stick too well, do they? That's a good analogy of how these various viruses work. Because there's the spike and the receptors on the cell, and unlike Velcro, which is a very simple design, these things are extremely complicated. The human body is rather complex. You know, the cells in the body are just complicated as can be. But the point is that you make a slight modification, they don't stick. And so this is where a lot of study is. And the point that the one gentleman was making is there's the question: was it simply a naturally occurring, or was it engineered? Was it due to, as they call it, gain of function research? And his point is, if you look at this, that, and the other, you cannot determine directly from the evidence, but it's kind of like the odds are ridiculous. Because the idea of this naturally occurring, he gave some excellent reasons why. No, it won't. Why it would be gain of function? Yes, this is why. And then, would it be publicly admitted or denied? He gave excellent reasoning for it. Why it would be denied? Because the objective is, of course, to get it out. But it was just remarkable insight. And one of the things he pointed out, the gain of function, is, you know, that's a marketing term. I will say it that way. It's a marketing term. Because the gain of function idea seeds in your mind evolution. And I think that's part of the objective. Because if you can say this is naturally evolving, the gain of function was simply, we're just trying to accelerate evolution. So it does indeed promote that idea. But what were the things that were done to make it where it would cause, because a typical virus attacks your lungs. And that's that's why during the flu season, people have issues in their lungs. And that's the thing that, you know, again, as I pointed out, 40 to 70,000 people typically in the United States, because of the flu during the winter season, will die. Simply because they, more often than not, they're old, they're obese, or have other comorbidities, and this is the last straw on the camel's back. Where have you heard that before? I described this in detail previously. But where's the gain of function? Because the viruses will attack, the typical virus will attack your lungs. They won't attack other parts of your body. COVID-19 will. Specifically, your heart. How many people are dying from heart issues or having heart problems, including young kids? COVID-19 is damaging people's hearts. And it could be, he didn't say it, but it could be why it's related to why it does accumulate, apparently, in the ovaries. This is the gain of function. And what was the term somebody used? Oh, that again was me. It's genocide. But you know, there are a lot of protests, you know, and you can see videos. I don't think MSNBC or Fox News and whatnot shows you these things, but there are huge protests all over the world. And, you know, I saw, you know, and including Australia, which is illegal, because it's one of the most locked down countries in the world. They showed, I saw a brief image of a fairly large crowd in Milan. That one I found fascinating because I've been to Milan. You know, it's kind of like I've been there, and I look at, and of course when I look at it's kind of like I didn't recognize this place, because, you know, I went there. I think most every time I went in and left at nighttime, and I was, you know, anyway, but, and of course that was early 90s, but okay. In the process, I watched two of my older videos, and I'm going to recommend it. I'll leave the links. One was to George, Be a Student of Yourself and Encouraging Commitment, which was January 2020, so almost 2 years ago. And I brought up the question at that point, because obviously at this point, the COVID-19 was kind of brand new and the panic hadn't really set in. But I ask about the vaccine for, I pointed out the vaccine for George, and this is a question I still want to know about. Obviously, I don't know about my family. You know, again, I'm just the dad, so I have to be pushed aside, not informed, because, you know, just my family, just my kids. But you know, remember the story we gave. We were doing the normal parental thing. We had our young infant child, George, and gave him his vaccines. And we said, there's a problem here. And that was it. It stopped. And we didn't give a vaccine to anybody else ever. George got no more, and none of the rest of the kids got any. Because I pointed out in that video, because, you know, it's I don't know what's happened to George. I don't know any further research done on how much vaccine impacted George and what impact it's had. Again, I'm just the dad. But it was a concern. And then, of course, grandkids started to show up. And I mentioned that point specifically. This is the time that the vaxxed video came out. And as I pointed out, I bought a copy of it. And then I decided to give it to a friend because they had a child who, after the vaccine, didn't speak, you know, for what, 2-3 months, whatever. And, you know, many years later, still had significant problems. I bought a second copy, and I sent it to Julia and Isaac for them to review in consideration of the upcoming arrival of Charlotte. Sometime later, Vax 2 came out, and I had the second copy. I don't think it was ever. It might be sitting there. Or should I do this?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yes. Yes, a little strange. The normal stack of stuff that people would have. You know, everybody has a copy of Aborting America. This was a really a life-changing book to me. Because, again, I met the author, Bernard Nathanson. Because when I read it, I said, okay, he's got a lot of good information here, but he's sensationalizing, which I will still say is true. But then I have some DVDs that I've offered, for example, Unplanned, which I've talked about because I went and I met the author of this. I went to a talk. I decided not to engage her. I did a video on that, but anyway. I offered that. It's available. And I got tortured for Christ because I used a clip of this in a video. I actually used the clip that I got online, and so I wanted to, you know, it's very much a habit. You know, consider when I was actually part of the family. One of the things we'd do is as we're traveling somewhere, somebody had to go to the bathroom. Say, okay, we're going to go to a convenience store. We are going to buy something. Doesn't matter what it is, a drink, something. We're going to buy something because we're not going to go into a store and just simply use the bathroom because something about the laborer is worthy of his wage. That was, you'll remember that. The reason I bought this was the same reason because I used a clip about, you know, when Verne Brand was at a theater with his wife as this whole thing was, his saga really started. And he was talking with his wife about, do I say something, basically? And his wife said something about, I don't want a husband who's a coward. And as I've pointed out, my wife obviously does. And of course, she got one who isn't. But then, Vax 2, the people, they call it the people's truth. And I used the picture of the bus. A different picture of bus, but the picture of the bus I've used and sent it before. Because if you watch the video, they took this bus and they toured the country. And when they met somebody who had an impact from a vaccine, they signed their name. They signed the name of the bus. So by the time the tour was over, they had, I think the number is 3,000 names in the bus. That's just from the top of my head. And I asked the question, should George's name be on this bus? You know how hard of a question that is? That's my son we're talking about. Anyway. I also, by the way, in that video, the George, be a student of yourself, brought up root canals. You know, and because I did a little study some time back, and because, you know, issues with my wife, and obviously we have a relative who's a dentist. And apparently it's devastating. Yeah, because you leave dead tissue in your mouth, and because, you know, and see what happens is you'll have people who use, what is it, not acupuncture, something else. Well, these things, and they say, oh, look at these strange drawings and so forth. And you write the whole thing off because you say that, whereas there is some basis to this, because others who have studied, you know, a lot of it is electrical relationships between various parts of your body and ends up in your mouth, and how you can, there's huge studies done where somebody's had a root canal, has a different problem, a problem in their leg, a problem in their, you know, chest or whatnot, pull the remaining part of that tooth out, problem goes away. I mean, it's not anecdotal, it's huge volume of stuff. So this is well studied. But the problem is, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and you don't want to unpack that kind of money. You know, it's like so many other food and medical industries. When the money is that big, lies don't matter. The second video, part of the Reconcile 30. You may recall I was trying to pursue reconciliation by a 30th anniversary. Not a single response. But I'm going to remind you, I tried, and I'm still trying. But I did in that on March 30th of 2020. So again, a year and a half ago. I did one called My Family in the Panicdemic. That one is on BitChute. And on BitChute, you know, right now it has 290 views. My assumption is maybe 100 are those. Somebody actually watched it all the way through. So the question, you know, it could be more, it could be less. I don't know. But then, did it impact somebody? You know, I don't know. But allow me to make some comments on that, and I'll give you the links to both of these, and I recommend them both. One is, you know, my friend, Panicdemic was a term that my friend Chris came up with. And there are a lot of others who've done those similar kind of things. There's the Plandemic, Planet Lockdown, and various plays and words. The one I think seems to fit best is the idea of Scamdemic, because this is a scam. I mean, this is a scam. I stated in that that the lockdowns will stay. So a year and a half ago, I said the lockdowns will stay, because at that time they're talking about, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Do you recall those expressions? And I said that in March of 2020, the lockdowns will stay. So maybe it was insightful. Maybe I'm not a prophet, but I do play one on TV. refers to a commercial from a long time ago. Because some of the things were unclear. But I would suggest the reason I could say these things, because it's obvious. If you're a little bit of a student of history, the predictions I made is obvious. The lockdowns will stay, that was obvious. It really was obvious. I pointed out some of the issues that were happening in Israel. Because they had the extreme lockdown, the extreme testing, and of course they're extreme on the vaccines and whatnot. Where is the biggest problems right now? Israel. And this is evidence. It's not the disease, it's the reaction that's causing the problem. Why the reaction? The desire's control. You know, and I mentioned at that point the idea that sooner or later there will be imposing vaccines. It happened, didn't it? It happened. But again, it was obvious. It's not rocket science. It was not, the Lord came down and spoke to me. It was obvious. I talked about public shaming at that point. You know, and it was, I remember shortly before, shortly after that, where, you know, I was called, I have been called out in a store. Why aren't you wearing a mask? The words from a young lady was, talk about not social distancing, something of that nature that she said to me. Because people live in fear. And speaking of, at that point, I pointed to Proverbs 28. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. There's nothing to pursue. There's nothing pursuing you. There is no virus coming to kill you. It's a scam. Again, 2020, the all-cause death rate throughout the world, no spike. However, I also mentioned democide. Democide, when governments kill their own people. You know, you can think of it a countrywide or worldwide, statewide. What state did that occur in? New York City. Because what they did is they took people who were sick from normal flu and put them in nursing homes to kill off the people in the nursing homes. And that's where they had the huge death count. And that's why the governor did resign, but related to, you know, sexual indiscretions, because you want to distract people with sexual indiscretions so you don't focus on murder, because that was murder. Because we're talking tens of thousands of people died because of this, not because of COVID-19. Because again, if you take somebody who is in not great shape and you put that last straw on the camel's back, you will kill them. And that's what they did. I also talked about turning people in. The popular term is a snitch. And, you know, because I remember it was, I think, the mayor of Los Angeles, I think it was, who said the term was snitches get paid. Because he literally asked, turn in your neighbor, turn in people that you see who are not wearing masks or doing whatever was inappropriate. I pointed that out. And I find it interesting because obviously that's happening in two ways. One that I don't think I pointed out then, but I pointed out elsewhere, several places, including Israel and I think it was the UK or France or whatever, had websites, whatnot, or even apps on your phone. And you can go and say, okay, I see this person who is violating some sort of social distancing or a mask or something, and we're turning them in. So that's been in place. Amazon, the beloved company, has, you know, a number of subdivisions. One is this product they call Ring. It's the Ring doorbell. And, you know, they offer all sorts of wonderful features, you know, because it has a camera in it and so forth. And you can, you know, it helps you control your home. You can do it remotely. It's an alarm system. So you can have external parties monitoring your home. And the term for that is you're a snitch. Because one of the great examples is when I leave here, one of the routes I take, you know, it's interesting to me because I live in Cleveland, Tennessee, and a short bit of the street I go on is called Ohio, you know, as in Cleveland, Ohio. So I find that interesting. But on Ohio Street Avenue, I think, anyway, there's a house there, and they have a little sign out front saying, "We have the Ring." And what I suggest is, what that sign says, "We are a snitch." Because it's exactly what it is. Because when I walk by that house, that's recorded. It's in another Amazon product, AWS, Amazon Web Services. So the fact that I walked by that, again, as I pointed out before, gait recognition is highly refined. So every time I walk by there, and I walk by there again and whatnot, I'm quite confident all of those have been correlated together because they know it's me. Well, they know it's the same person. And you say, well, you know, okay, it's a corporation. But see, one of the things that I think is important to understand about the signatures, whether it's gait, facial recognition, DNA tests and things of that nature, it's not that you have the complete, it's like, you know, consider a photo. A photo is obviously very complex, but in order to do facial recognition, what happens is a signature is produced. A signature basically saying, here's a bunch of numbers, measurements, and so forth, that produces a simplified ID. So you don't get the whole picture, you just get the signature. And what can happen, and of course the signatures are not exact, so what you can do is you match signatures that are close. And so what happens is, if, for example, let's say someone in the various police services, whether it's local, national, like the FBI, or international, like the CIA or whatnot, so, you know, the intelligence community, various corporate players, or unsavory characters, say, okay, I have this signature. I want to go to other places and find, do I have matches? So, for example, let's say the FBI has a signature of someone who walked by a bank just because it was robbed, and they can say, okay, let me go ask Amazon or the Ring, their data set, do you have anybody who matches this signature? And it's kind of like, you know, we're not going to give you all this information, but when you ask, we'll say, oh yes, consider this person. And then you can then look at other factors to say, was that person there? And by the way, no, I did not rob a bank. Just make that clear. I did not rob a bank. But I'm, that, you know, that's the kind of example. And now apply this to COVID. What happens, and it's happening all over the place. You know, the big example right now is Australia, where someone is tagged as you have it because of a test, whatever. And again, the test has an issues. You have it. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the data set we have of, because we have your cell phone, we know where you were and when, and we're going to look for all the people who are near you. And now they arrest them and take them to the various camps that they have built in Australia to house people during the isolation period, the quarantine period. I mean, it's happening. It's not academic. It's happening. Israel does the same thing, where they you know, if you're tagged, they go directly to the people that you've been near. And again, one of the things that I pointed out, perhaps in one of those videos, if there's ever reconciliation in our family, cell phones are gone. No ifs, ands, or buts. They are gone. One of your greatest enemies, for two reasons, is your cell phone. Number one, it's tracking. You know, it's, oh, I got all these cool features, whatnot. Everything is known about you. No, I'm sorry. It happens. It's something about sacrificing your children to Moloch. That's exactly what that is. The other thing, which is worse. Yeah, the great example is I mentioned last Thursday when I visited Gary and there was two other women there. They sat on the couch, both with their phones. No conversation whatsoever. I talked with Gary. The two of them, cousins, no conversation whatsoever. How often do you see that? I see that in the public arena all the time. People are embedded in that phone. Socially, it's a killer. I have actually had numerous cases where you would talk with somebody and they're constantly looking at their phone. that is destroying society. And that's why when I go to people, I look them in the eye, especially young people. And some of them, it scares them. It really scares them. And that shouldn't be. And I want to make sure my kids won't be that way. That's why, if in the Lord's grace, I get to see my kids again and the family is reconciled, cell phones are, without question, gone. Cell phones are gone. I don't know to what degree my family has them, but they will be gone. And again, the big thing is, of course, practicing what I preach. I haven't had a cell phone in years. When I went to Philadelphia, and that was about 4 years ago, I went and got, you know, the so-called burner phone to use it on the trip. And when I got back and the account expired, I have the physical phone and it's powered off, not just simply in idle, it's powered off because I've used it as a stopwatch. Oh, by the way, one last thing. Doing a short call has become hard. You can go to my kozlowski.org/walk. I started putting in just the notes of my aggressive walks. And because of the fact we're looking at hopefully this, maybe this week, doing Big Frog. I've usually, most of my hikes have been capped out around seven miles and the occasional 9 mile. So I did a 10 mile hike Sunday. I said, okay, I got to do a 10 mile hike. Plus the way I did it is I walked the Greenway from end to end, which I haven't done much. You know, I usually walk just part of it. So I did the end to end thing. And, I do have my times, there, and I had set a record at 53 minutes and 22 seconds for the 4.2 miles, which is 4.7 miles an hour, which I suggest is fast. And I said, okay, can I beat it? Can I beat it? So instead of 53.22, I did 53.39. So I missed by 17 seconds. It's kind of like, but I had, I've only done three time trips this year, which is terrible. It's actually my third best time because I also did 53.25. Okay, 53.25. So it's my third best time, but still, and I am concerned. I wonder if I've capped at four. I was saying, can I make it to 5 miles an hour? And I do think a lot of things are in the head, psychological. Because when I walk, one of the things I think about is I think I'm at the threshold where I'm walking fast and I need to get into that race walking stride. And it's kind of just like a flip of a switch that I haven't flipped. And I don't know if I will. I'm not sure. And so, but either way, I'm knocking at the door, I'm at 66 in a couple months, kind of like, oh my, that's kind of like, it's getting close. So I'm 65 years old, taking 10 mile hikes, the whole hike. One of the problems is when I stop and start again, it's hard to regain stride. But when I do the long walks, I can maintain the stride. Typically I can do 10 miles at 4.5 miles an hour. It was May of 2020. I did a 10 mile trip, 2 hours, 12 minutes, which is 4.54 miles per hour. So again, that's fast. And you know that's continuous. And I probably could do that. I could probably do that today. Well, not tonight, but anyway. But it goes back to, again, that psychological thing of making that switch from walking fast to race walking. There's a second aspect in this, wanting to do it. Because one of the things I've just keep hearing people talk about, and of course know myself, because one of the big killers, and apparently there's a growing body of evidence for this, one of the big killers, because again, 2020, there was no spike in overall death counts. 2021, apparently there is, but not from COVID. But the reaction from COVID, one of the reactions, of course, is the isolation. Isolation, apparently, is a monumental killer. And again, it's the indirect killer. You know, because apparently the big factors is obesity, obviously age, and lack of vitamin D, and because you're inside, that's going to amplify that, and loneliness. And I think about it, because I've mentioned several times, one of the big, I don't need the house I'm in. You know, I was in a much smaller place, and I was fine in the sense that, you know, biologically I was fine. But the fact that I have a huge window right in front of me, huge window over there, and when I look outside, I'm not looking at a parking lot. I'm looking at a 300-foot driveway and trees, lots of trees. The video I did, you know, especially like the one I did for Jack. You know, for, was it Walter? I walked straight out in the middle of the driveway. For Jack, I walked that way a good ways because it had to go downhill and whatnot. Because again, it's about 4 acres here, a U-shaped piece of property. And I'm out down in a valley, so it's not very usable. But it's just full of trees. That environment helps the head dramatically. And as I pointed out, the big difference between me and somebody like, well, I use the example of Julian Assange, who's stuck in his cell, he's being tortured, is that I walk out my door, I go down the driveway, and I walk for miles. Or, you know, like I did Sunday, I walk 10 miles. That helps the head as well as the body. That's vital. Because if I didn't have that, I'd be a sick old man or dead. But right now, again, I'm healthier probably than most people in their 20s. Because, I mean, how many people can walk like I do? I hope my kids are that way. Anyway, I wanted to let you know about those two videos. I highly recommend them. I think you will find, especially the one about my family and the pandemic, for the most part, I nailed it. But again, it wasn't because I'm a prophet, because I can see the obvious. It's obvious. This is not a terrible, terrible panic of there's this virus killing people. No, it's genocide. It is genocide. Again, even back then, I said three primary reasons: money, power, and I said eugenics. And I later said, eugenics, maybe we should say genocide. And I will state today, it's money, power, and genocide. You know, I have, obviously, there are huge, I mean, a lot of people will talk about how the people who are the multi-billionaires, or the new billionaires, the however many, 50-some new billionaires in the last 2 years, mostly in the pharmaceutical industry, They're making money hand over fist. The only reason people, especially in the pharmaceutical industry, can make money is they sell their product. How do you sell a product in large scales? You have a demand for it. How do you have a demand for it? You generate it. How do you generate it? You put out a scamdemic. And you say, well, I can make a lot of money here. So let's lie and get some a lot of money. And that's exactly what happens. And secondly, the power thing. You know, because I've seen it in others. And I know in myself to say, no, don't go after this. Don't go after power over other people. Again, I'm getting long again. I will contend. You know, one of the pivotal verses for me, because it impacted my pro-life stand, Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply, the first command God gave to man. You know, that is the most pro-life verse in the Bible. And I'll get you in trouble in the pro-life community, as, you know, I'm the example. But the other part is, have dominion over, you know, the fishes of the birds of the air and the animal, basically over the animal kingdom. That is the only time, there are various words used. There's the Archi Archon, there's the Basileia, or various versions of that, or the Hegemon. Those are the most common words used about having control. You know, and of course there's also Lord, Kurios. Only time that man is given authority over another is over the animal kingdom. And again, I found it fascinating because I had an excellent example. Because I you know, as a walker, I end up with dogs a lot. And usually they're on leashes or behind a fence and whatnot. But occasionally they're not. And I find it fascinating because, you know, for example, there was, a German Shepherd. And he starts coming after me. And it's kind of like, do you turn in panic? No. I turned around, simply looked at him. He stopped. And I suggest the reason why those things happen is because God gave man authority over the animal kingdom. And so when an animal backs off because you're showing authority over them, without ever touching them, it's because God instilled that. It's not that he was trained. God made him that way. And of course, if you cower, they'll know and your lunch. But, something about the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Interesting. There's this desire to control. It's something we have to flee from because we have no authority over other people. The only authority that exists. Is within the family. And it has, you know, I won't repeat that. But then, of course, the genocide idea. You know, there's a lot of reasons for that. It's long. I recommend the two videos, again, because they're almost 2 years old, year and a half. The one is almost 2 years old. And I'll send you the DVD if anybody asks. And of course, this was specifically, I bought this basically because of James. And obviously, additionally, to support the idea with Charlotte. And I still have that question. Should George's name be in this bus? My family, my lady, George, I love you.